I'm really experienced with these things, I swear. Not that Don isn't, too. But all right. Thanks, Joan. Thanks, Jimmy. Hi, everybody. How y'all doing? Welcome to almost the season finale. I got two new books. I'm going to tell you about that in a minute. But first, we're going to read a poem called Wonder Bread, Chipped Ham, and Tasty Cakes. It's not a real road until you see the front end loader pulled over, horse collared at the roadside by a cop car right near the ass of a Walmart. I honestly forgot it was Memorial Day until I hit the hill, the cemetery stretching up festooned in hundreds of flags. If there was a grave to honor, you couldn't find it here in the wind. The town, football players are walking to their cars, token flags and football pads. The town was a stop on the Underground Railroad. The supermarket has specials on Wonder Bread, Chipped Ham, and Tasty Cake. The food truck serves funnel cake and snow cones. The veterans are hanging from light posts, the bunting in the window. We only give lip service to our wars. Maybe no one needs to know what a just war is. Maybe we just don't want to look that close. Maybe if we cared more, the pizza shop on 4th wouldn't have closed so long ago that the weeds are up to the window. If we cared more, maybe we'd all have two busted-ass Trans Ams parked on that quarter-acre manicured lawn. And maybe if we cared more, we could afford one of those ranch houses on Utopia Street. Instead, we run for the hills. The parade healed in that same elemental way as a Sunday church service. We take away our lies and our misconceptions that we swear we're right about. We hold them close to our hearts while we wait weeks for the rain to wash away the piles of horse shit that were left at the corner of Walnut Street. This is for the poet Roy Beckmeyer. It's called Beckmeyer, Illinois, 1958. We usually headed to Shoal Lake. Once I got older, sometimes, though, it was Carlisle Lake. We'd find a dark alcove, tossing our lines out from the shore. Sometime we'd use a boat, listen while the bow cut the water. And my dad would tell us again about how it was working in the mines, about everyone's brother or uncle gone, about the cave-ins and explosions, how they lost a hand or a leg, maybe if they were lucky, only a finger, if they weren't, maybe their fucking life. As I got older, I knew this was a reminder to get out of town, to not let the mines take me down, and I listened. He would tell us again about my grandfather, a machine runner, how he was running an air puncher when a ton of slate came down on him and shattered his back. They dug him out and took him to St. Louis, but it was too late. He was already gone. And no matter how many times I heard that story, the hair on my neck always stood up. The helmets we used on those nights were taken out of the mines. I wondered then if the light that shone above me was the last light my grandfather had seen. Called a palomino and a bull snake. There were four water towers on the Salina skyline, more than 10 rooms with private baths in the place I stayed. I've lived the last couple of days on gin and tequila. There's been no need to hit the brakes over the last 80 miles. It feels like I'm barnstorming a prairie fire. The longest train I ever saw was in Amarillo. That was before today, although it may have been Sheridan. Amarillo is 400 miles south. Sheridan is a palomino and a bull snake away. In the distance, there's a storm stuck over Topeka. I've seen so much big sky and empty plains, it makes me want to swing north for the Badlands. I could make it to Rapid City by morning. Yesterday, I learned that Mexican buffet are the two most perfect words in the English language. As I left, I noticed the only graffiti on the men's room wall, "My asshole is burning." Except both of the S's were faint. They had been corralled to some Baptist ranch in the sky where profanity may still be the tongue of the devil. Yesterday, I found out I could turn breadcrumbs into bluebirds. If I head north and I gun it through Nebraska, I'm going to try my luck turning motels into buffalo. There are two new books, The Ugly Side of the Lake, This Useless Beauty, that just came out. We're having the release show at the Brillo Box on August 9th, which is a Thursday night. John Dorsey and Victor Clevenger are coming in from Missouri. Nikki Allen's coming in from Ohio. Vanessa Vesh is coming in from Pittsburgh. And yeah, it's $5. It starts at 8 o'clock. There's two bands playing, including Pond Hockey, which I'm in with Scott Silsby. Come on out if you get a chance. This is a poem from The Ugly Side of the Lake, which I co-wrote with John Dorsey. It's called Oscar's Diner. The elderly couple creak out of their sport utility vehicle and ask if this is a good place to eat. But we honestly don't know. Lost in the 50s, classic American diner, chrome-plated American style. The prettiest girl in Jefferson City is hostess. She stops teenage boys dead in her wake, and the bodies just follow her. Our waitress is a hummingbird weighed down by a four-barrel stainless steel coin changer. She wears failure, smeared eyeshadow, and mashed potatoes, takes her lumps hard. Dorsey does his best to console her. He reminds her there is no wrong answer when it comes to a choice of gravy. This is called Cielito Lindo, which means beautiful heaven or beautiful sweetheart. You know the song without knowing the song, I'm sure. And it's for the poet Jose Faust. Jose tells us about a beach in Mexico. Between Christmas and New Year's, it's virtually empty except for villagers from the mountains who come down to live in shanties and fish. There are a few tourists, mostly Germans, a few Americans. And there are bonfires as shacks burn on New Year's. And the Germans sing O Tannenbaum as a chorus. And the Mexicans sing Cielito Lindo as a chorus. And the Americans shuffle and look at their feet with no song or celebration in their hearts. This beach is known for sea turtles who come to lay their eggs. You can sit and watch them head back to the sea. And when they hatch, you can watch their young head back to the sea. Thousands of tiny turtles slowly crawling to the sea. Tonight we're in Cleveland, Ohio, Jose. After reading an RA's house with all its energy, walking State Road through the Ukrainian village, with a Russian and a Polish village nearby, with beautiful gold leaf domes that rise to glow in city darkness, with icons that celebrate some ceremony we don't understand, but for Christ's sake, of course we understand, because we're human. And there is no bar open on a Sunday night. You and me and Silsby, we trail after neon parched. We crawl back to George Avenue like turtles and wait on strong drink, herbal refreshment, and burrows. We tell stories celebrating life and improbability, loitering around the Calavan. The eyes of Leda upon us, hoping the neighbors won't care enough to call the cops. This is for Renee Alberts. This is called We Own the Night. Renee will be in town. We're going to do a reading at Brillo Box on Sunday, September 2nd. I believe that Don Wentworth and Carla Lamb will be filling out that bill. So stay tuned for that as well. But in the meantime, this poem is for her. It's called We Own the Night. I was in a Walmart in Moundsville, West Virginia, because clean restrooms on the road are a must. And that's when you texted me that you went nuclear. Hell, I've known you for 15 years. You've always been fierce, but I knew the life you chose didn't sit with you. You texted tonight, I'm leaving town, sorry I missed you till now, can we meet later? And a question sits on the bar, how do you love people that don't love themselves? We shoot bullet and you walk me through walking out of your life. That moment on the beach staring off at the Pacific, you realized you were living someone else's life. The moment you realized you didn't know why. Was it what they told you you should want? Was it only for security? I've had that moment many times, staring at the Pacific, the Atlantic, the Gulf of Mexico, sunrise and sunset, and Lake Champlain almost 20 years apart. I've had that moment in many places. It's a hard moment. These are difficult questions, questions to be proud of, but questions with no easy answers. We race time tonight and try and squeeze everything into a last physical conversation. We talk about freedom. We talk about letting go. We talk about isolating the noise that holds us in place and how, in that isolation, it may be possible to find what you actually need. And we talk more about freedom. We own the night tonight with all its useless beauty as Sunday sleepers fog through dreams of their disaster lives. I drive you back to your folks. You're full of what it all means, and I've never seen you more confident, more beautiful than when you walked away. One long, one short poem, and then I'll be out of your hair. This is called Lake Neil Young in Albuquerque. The couple in their 70s at the door see my shirt and ask if I brought the rain. If I knew them better, I may say, in this town, rain has a habit of following you. It's a thing you can't shake, solitary, dark clouds at your heels, endlessly. And today I feel like Neil Young in Albuquerque, wanting breakfast, a joint, and anonymity. I felt this way for several seasons, clawing and uncomfortable, something I can't shake, can't leave, or at least really leave, so I ease into it, half measures. The waitress yawns, waiting for order up, and I think about coming here with my grandfather, our weekly dinners in the wake of my father's death, his best attempts to be part of my life, but never knowing truly how to relate. I think about my father, who, if you ask him what he wanted for breakfast, he would always say Eggs Benedict, although I never saw him order it. Strange that even at the far end of our cities, we still find our histories glaring. And I wonder, while eating Eggs Benedict, if my turning 40 has anything to do with these wanders. Age puts weight on you. I mean that metaphorically. I consider my father dead now over 30 years, my grandfather gone over 20. I consider generations, all the boughs of a bloodline tree. I watch red-shirted cooks spin around an open range, an array of Belgian waffles of strawberries, eggs and toast, home fries a la carte, and Greek omelets appear out of the tornado, the ballet, the occasional flickers of fire. This furnace glows indelible forever. A young black kid and an old Marine are bussers. When they pause, I see the same look on their face, the indignity of work, the pain of physical labor, and I wonder if it's a muscle memory or a generational memory, how our dreams, they're squeezed out of us for doing so much for nothing. I leave. The rain has mostly stopped. Couples, bent trees, cringe under the last of water, under the decks of their umbrellas. I decide to cross the bridge to take when things get serious, not because I have to, but because I want to. I turn around at the North Versailles welcome sign, recross it again. The Edgar Thomson works looks as it does on the cover of Jack Gilbert's Tough Heaven. His poems flash through my head. One line in particular surfaces. We find the heart by dismantling what the heart knows. And one more real quick poem. This is called Al's Bar. 1 a.m., drunk, corner of 6th and North Limestone, hoping each streetlight is the moon. Thank you.